in the past so that you can think and behave and interpret in a new way. That's kind of what discipleship is. And so the question becomes, how do we allow Jesus to now disciple our thoughts and our feelings and our interpretations and our behaviors in even more profound ways than our families or other influences in our lives have up till this point? And more, like I say, I believe it's important for us to dive into this and kind of think about this question before we just move on with the principles. So let's think about Joseph and Joseph's life. Because Joseph is a prime example of one who was deeply influenced by his family and circumstances in his life. Joseph was from the family line of Abraham. I'm going to walk us through the story. It's really about a 13-chapter story in the scripture, so instead of reading all 13 chapters, I'm just going to walk us through here, and then we'll get to chapter 45. But Joseph was from the family line of Abraham. Abraham was Isaac's father. Isaac was Jacob's father, and then Jacob was Joseph's father. And it's important to see that this family passed down great blessings from generation to generation, even to this day through Jesus Christ. Yet, they also passed down patterns that weren't as healthy and good, like lying and manipulation. Two different times, Abraham deceived others about Sarah being his sister instead of his wife. Isaac's marriage with Rebekah was filled with lies and trickery. Jacob's name, very name, means deceiver. Also, all these men seem to have a favorite child, which always causes some tension, right? And that brings us to the story of Joseph. Joseph was the youngest of his brothers and was obviously his father's favorite. I'll just read you a little bit here. His father Jacob made him a coat of many colors when he was 17 years old. Now, actually, I learned in the Hebrew this week, it might mean that he made him a coat with sleeves on it instead of a coat of many colors. But wouldn't that be disappointing? I mean, after all the kids' crafts and all the Sunday school lessons, to learn that it meant a coat with long sleeves versus a coat of many colors. So let's just keep with the coat of many colors, right? Anyway, his other brothers hated him for being their father's favorite. And it didn't help matters when Joseph started having dreams that his whole family was going to bow down to him. And even the sun and the stars and all of the heavens were going to bow down to him. And his brothers hated him even worse for his dreams. And there came a day when his brothers were out taking care of sheep and Joseph was sent to check on them. And the brothers decided that they were going to take the opportunity to kill Joseph. But one brother held out. So instead, they sold him as a slave, and Joseph was then given to Potiphar, who was in Egypt, a high-ranking official in Egypt under the Pharaoh. So now Joseph is a prime candidate for a person who has been deeply and emotionally shaped by his issues with his father, by his family issues, and by the mistreatment that he experienced. Yet when he began serving his master in Egypt in chapter 39, it says that the Lord was with Joseph and made him successful in his master's house until his master made him the top overseer of all his affairs. So it seemed that Joseph's fortune had turned and he became the highest official under Potiphar in his house. It seemed that it had changed for the better since his family of origin. Yet his master's wife found Joseph attractive and pursued him in order to be intimate with her. And when Joseph denied it, when he refused to give in and when he refused to sin against God, Potiphar's wife lied about him, saying that he was the one pursuing her. So Joseph was thrown into prison. We see once again that God allows Joseph to find favor even in prison. While Joseph was in prison, he was able to interpret dreams there. There was this cupbearer who had done something against the Pharaoh, and he was put in jail because of it. And Joseph was able to interpret the cupbearer's dream, and the cupbearer was given his place back with the Pharaoh. And the cupbearer promised Joseph, "I promise I'll plead your case in front of the Pharaoh." Yet when the cupbearer was given his position back, he forgot And for 2 years, Joseph just sat there in the prison. Joseph is still a top candidate for poor relationships and influences that could lead to really difficult interpretations and a lack of emotional health. So for almost, it took 2 years for the cupbearer to finally remember Joseph when the Pharaoh had a strange dream. So the Pharaoh brings Joseph to him out of prison in order to help him interpret the dream as a warning from God about a famine that would come from the land of Egypt. And the Pharaoh raises Joseph to second in command in order to prepare Egypt for the famine. And 7 years later, the famine comes, and Joseph's brothers are sent to Egypt by their father, Jacob, to get food. Have you ever experienced family issues or drama that makes your family difficult to be around? Joseph would certainly fall under that category. And imagine what it was like for Joseph. After a life of such suffering, alienation, and loss, to once again see his brothers face to face. Yet when Joseph comes face to face with his past, we see that he has settled with his past in healthy ways, allowing him to move forward in a healthy way to his God-given future. So I want us to just see a few ways of how he did that and how the scripture leads us to think that we can do this as well. The first is, Joseph interpreted his past in light of God's character and purposes. It's so important for us to interpret our past in light of God's character and God's purposes. Joseph could have interpreted his situation in light of his hardships and his hurt. Here stood before him his brothers who had sold him into slavery. Because of them, he had lived without a family. Because of them, he had lived as a slave. Because of them, he had been separated from his father. He would have never ended up in prison for all those years if it were not for them. Yet look at Genesis 45, verse 8. This is what Joseph said when he interprets what had happened. Everything that had happened in his past, this is what he says. It was not you that sent me here, but God. Joseph was able to look at everything that he had gone through up to that point and look his brothers in the face and say, you know, it wasn't you that brought me here. It was God. That shows me that Joseph had dealt with his past in a healthy way. Sometimes we have to go back and think about some things in the past and apply God's character and God's purposes in light of what has happened. Joseph acknowledged God's sovereign purposes in everything he had been through in his life. He chose to interpret his life based on God and his purposes instead of based on his own hardships and hurt. And that's important. And that's so freeing and it's so life-giving, yet it takes work. And sometimes it's scary to face things in your past head-on in order to reinterpret things in light of God's control, God's purposes, and his ways. No doubt we are all deeply influenced by things of the past. And in following Jesus, he desires us to walk through the past as he helps us reinterpret those things in light of his characters and purposes. You say, well, hang on. Doesn't the Bible tell us that we should just leave the past behind and move towards the future, looking to Christ? Well, yeah, that's true, we should. But I think what we don't realize so much of the time is we don't realize how much we haven't done that. What I mean by that is we know all the right principles and we know the right things to say, but when things come up, when the pressure cooker happens in life, we so easily draw back to just how we were taught in the past, or the influences that we've had in the past, or the experiences that we've had in the past. And so what we see here is that Joseph, he had gone back and he had thought through those experiences and he had reinterpreted the experiences that he needed to in order to be able to press forward in the present and in the future for what God had for him. You go back and reinterpret events, relationships, and influences in light of God's character and purposes in order to be able to move forward. So let's think for a few moments of what that means. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ, there are characteristics and purposes of God that we know are true of every believer and that we can apply to every situation. The first is, we know that God is holy and he hates sin and evil. We see that on the cross. Talked about that some this morning. So we see on the cross that Jesus had to take the punishment of sin and death. So no matter what the sin and evil that either you have done or that others have done to you, God has either punished it on the cross for all who repent and believe in him, or it will receive punishment for an eternity in hell. So those things that are dark and scary and have been evil and wicked and should not have been, you can know God agrees with you. That should not have been. It should not have been like that. And understanding this allows you not to seek vengeance or take revenge for yourself. Another thing that we know God is merciful and gracious and that he's willing to punish his son in our place. So no matter what your past sin or mistakes, you can interpret them in light of God's forgiveness and his grace. And listen, if God can forgive you for it, the one who created the standard himself, if he can forgive you for it, surely, what does it mean or why does it matter that you hold on to it yourself? You know, sometimes you hear this idea of, oh, I just can't forgive myself. I just humbly say that's a pretty arrogant thing to say if the God of the universe is able to forgive you. If the God of the universe is able to forgive you, then what does it matter how much that you're punishing yourself? So we know that God is gracious and merciful, and we can apply that to every situation, no matter the mistake, the sin. We also know as a believer, we know a key purpose in all of our experiences is for God to conform us into the image of his son. And in order to be conformed more into his image, he uses every experience of our life, every pain, every hurt, every joy, every sorrow, every confusion, every hope, every despair, and so many other things just like Jesus did. Yet we can look back on all those things, even the things where it seems mysterious and you're not sure how. One thing that you know he's doing, it is that he's shaping you more into the image of his son. He promises you that. So one answer that you can always give to why did God allow me to do that or go through that is that he's shaping me more into the image of his son. And he used that experience to help do it. And finally, one more, as a believer, we know that God uses his gospel to comfort us in our afflictions so that we can come alongside others and comfort them in theirs. As you reinterpret your past based on God's character and purposes, he makes you into a person ready to minister to others and help them do the same. So maybe God is calling you to take some time to think and to pray. And maybe to journal or however you process best to think through some of the key relationships, the key influences, some of the key experiences in your life and how those things shape you till this day. Those things shape the way we interpret and respond to things, including conflict. And some things that you have maybe been subconsciously put in the category of, that should never have happened to me, or how could they have been that way, or why didn't they do this, or why didn't they teach me that, or I am who I am because of fill in the blank person. God's inviting you to reinterpret your past in light of his character and his purposes, his holiness, his mercy and grace. The fact that whatever it is, he was using it to conform you more into the image of his son. And he brought you out on the other side of it in a deeper relationship with him. And the comfort that you've experienced of God, you're now there ready to minister to others. God calls you to interpret your past in light of his character and purposes in order to free you up. In order to break some of those negative patterns and negative interpretations of the past, in order to move forward in a new way of following Jesus doing and interpreting things like Jesus does. So the idea is to go back in order to move forward with Jesus. And this is something that's a constant thing. It's not something that you just do once and then, yeah, it's all over. But it's just realizing Joseph, when Joseph was faced with his brothers, he had obviously thought through and reinterpreted some of those situations in his life in order to be at a healthy place to stand before them and say, listen, those were some hurtful things and some hurtful times and some difficult patterns that came out of that. But God did this. I see God in this. Do you see God in even the hardest circumstances of your life? In the hardest places of your past? Second thing I see that Joseph was able to do is he was able to admit honestly the difficult parts of the past in order to break into a new future. He was able to admit honestly the difficult parts of the past in order to break into a new future. Genesis 45, 1 and 2. When Joseph was standing before his brothers, it says this, Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him. He cried, "Make everyone go out from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud so that the Egyptians heard it and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Listen, our culture at large teaches us that we either should ignore our emotions, we should hide our emotions, or we should let our emotions dominate and control you. Yet throughout the scripture, we see men and women in relationship with God be honest and raw about their past and their emotions in order to find healing and freedom. Joseph, a man who was now a leader, a man who had experienced much difficulty, he didn't harden himself to the world and to his own emotions. He kept his heart open before the Lord and was honest about his hurts and his emotions. We see this, by the way, when he was able to weep in front of his brothers. He was real and honest, allowing his emotions to be what they are and just not hiding from them. And that way he was able to process the situation with an open heart and come out on the other side. You say, okay, that's one. But let's think about David. David was a man's man by any accounts, right? A warrior, a king, and a leader. Yet he was also a man who played the harp and wrote such deep songs and poems expressing what he truly felt and what was truly going on. And he was able to keep his heart open before God because he was open about his emotions. Now listen, some of us have been taught since we were born that this is not the route to go when it comes to emotions, but we see it over and over again in the scriptures. Think about Jesus. He was a man that was able to weep and laugh and express anger in all inappropriate ways, being honest with his emotions, allowing them to be a part of the process without them dominating and controlling his life. Some of us need to give ourselves to permission to feel and find a safe place to do it. Others of us need to be honest about our feelings, yet not allow them to control and dominate the whole situation. You see, our times with the Lord should not only be just gaining knowledge of the Scripture, but it should be a time to process, to think about how that truth applies to your life and to your relationships and to those things from the past that keep coming up and haunting you. It should be a time of really relating with the Lord on that level and opening your heart before Him and just being honest. Only in doing this will we become self-aware enough to know our emotions and how we feel about something. So many times, yeah, we want to do it Jesus' way, we want to do His principles, but we have no idea, we're not aware enough in ourselves to know how we feel or how we respond to something in the moment. Only when we learn to process it with God will we be able to apply Jesus' principles in new ways and in healthy ways. The beauty of the gospel is that it changes us from the inside out, right? That Jesus knew our core need was not something outside, it was not a behavior modification, but it was a new heart. And that because of sin and brokenness, even though that we were created in the image of God, we don't respond to things as we should. We don't interpret the world like God does because of our sin and our depravity. But Jesus came and he did everything necessary in order to forgive us and heal our hearts. And in repenting and believing the gospel, we're forgiven and we're given the Holy Spirit to restore us from the inside out, to restore the image of God in us, to conform us more into the image of his Son, and to cause us to bring to the surface some of the deep broken places in our hearts in order that we may process them and apply the gospel to them and be healed and whole to now do things God's way. Without that kind of heart change, living by a new set of principles will be shallow at best and harmful at worst. I mean, think about the command to love your enemy. How in the world do you go about living out the principle of loving your enemy without processing deeply that you are an enemy of God, separated from God, not just in a neutral way, but actually in an adversarial way and in a rebellious kind of way? And realizing that through the cross and resurrection, Jesus brought you close when you were his enemy. Without processing that deeply and applying that to your heart and your life, how in the world are you ever going to love your enemy? It's not just something that you can just will to do. It's something that you have to process and allow the Lord to speak deeply into those things and allow him to change your heart. Proverbs 4:23 tells us this: keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. You see, from the heart, that place, that volitional choosing place of the center of ourself, the feeling aspect of ourself, the processing part of who you are, from that flow the spring of life. So in order to keep your heart open, that springs of life may flow, you have to be willing to feel and to process and to linger with your God in order to allow springs of life to keep flowing. Joseph didn't stuff and downplay his inner life of feeling and processing. He did it openly before God in order to keep his heart with all diligence and let the springs of life continue to flow. And God's calling us to that same pursuit. We're not just who we are on the surface. We are all these experiences and influences and interpretations, and being able to go back and work those things through with God and see God in the midst of it and apply his character and his purposes in it brings us then to a place where we can serve and love and worship him from the heart. Number three, and the final point: a heart healed from the past partners with God to be a blessing for the future. A heart healed from the past partners with God to be a blessing for the future. Genesis 45 again, 9 through 15. Let's read a little bit of the story. Verse 9, Joseph said this: "Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children and your flocks, your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here.' Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him." So instead of bitterness, instead of estrangement and revenge, which our culture would honestly be understanding of in Joseph's situation. Joseph was able to partner with God to be a blessing to his family because he had allowed God to heal and interpret his past in really life-giving ways. He kept his heart with all diligence so that the life of God continued to flow out of him. This is a picture of a man who's put his past in its place. He didn't run from it and act like it never happened. He didn't allow his past to make him a victim of his circumstances or his feelings. Instead, he went back to his past and interpreted it according to God's character and purposes. And he kept his heart open before the Lord by admitting honestly the pain of the past in order to break into a new future. And in doing this, he was able to partner with God to be a blessing to others in the future. Imagine the blessing of two people managing conflict who truly know themselves, and they've put themselves, and with God's help, they've put their past in its place. They've interpreted past habits, behaviors, and experiences in light of God's character and purposes. They've done the hard work of processing openly before God the difficulties of the past in order to be a blessing in the present and the future. I'm extremely optimistic that this conflict is going to end well. Not because they have all the principles right, but their heart's in the right place. Their heart's not holding on to this bitterness or estrangement or anything from the past that has nothing to do with this direct situation, but it has everything to do with it, right? Because they've processed and they've done it and they've done the hard work and they've taken the time to apply God and truth and his nature and character and purposes to their past. You have people who are able to be honest about their feelings while also able to take responsibility for their part of the conflict and whose hearts desire above anything else to partner with God to be a blessing to the other the way God has been a blessing to them. Last verse. It's in Genesis 50, and it's probably one of the most famous in Joseph's story. I'll read a little around it to give us context. But Genesis 50, 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. Okay, so now they've come to the land, but now Joseph's father's died. And they said, "It may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him, now that our father is dead." So they sent a message to Joseph saying, "Your father gave this command before he died." Verse 17, "Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father." And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." Verse 19. But Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God?" Verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones." Yet he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. When the brothers begged forgiveness for their sin against Joseph, Joseph's heart had been kept with such diligence. It was almost like he was saying, "Guys, I can't believe you're still holding on to this. This is a healthy place in my past." Can you imagine something like being betrayed like he was, being then a healthy place in his past? Because he'd done the hard work with the Lord to interpret it. And that he could say, "Listen, you meant it for evil. And maybe there's something in your past that you meant for evil or someone meant for evil against you. But if you do the hard work with God and you keep your heart with all vigilance, I promise you can come to a place to say, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good." That's the kind of heart I want to have in loving God and others. To be able to stand before those who have hurt me the deepest and say from a healed heart, you may have meant this for evil against me, but God meant it for good in my life, to bring about blessing to many. Would you bow your head with me for just a moment tonight?